Amen. All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus chapter number 4 is where we're going to be this morning. We're going to read the first 13 verses in Exodus 4. So let's get started. The Bible says in Exodus 4, verse number 1, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto Moses, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am of slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And that's where we're going to stop this morning. May God add His blessing to His Word today. One of the funniest scenes, at least for me, that if you're walking along, especially in the summer and in the spring, when you see a man or a woman walking their dog, one of the funniest things that I think happens is when that dog starts walking the person. Right? You know how you're supposed to be walking the dog, but that dog eventually starts walking you. Either they'll start taking you in the direction they want to go, or they'll just sit there and not move in the direction that you want to go. It's when an animal begins to resist its owner. I love, to be honest with you, for me, it's just hilarious. Especially when it's a big dog versus a little person, right? They just drag them all along. But anyway, it's when the owner is trying to get the animal to use the bathroom, to get the animal to take a bath, to get it to go out and eat. But the animal just sits there and doesn't move. You yell at it. You entice it with treats. You yank it. You probably start crying after a while. But nothing ever happens. The animal just does not move. And there's a word that we use for that, and it's called stubborn. You ever heard of that word, stubborn? Right. Here's a picture of what stubborn looks like. You see that? They're both trying to get that animal in the place they want it to be, but it ain't moving. Here's another one that I liked. As a cartoon, you could see in a newspaper. Do they still do cartoons in the newspaper? They still do those. But look at that. That man is trying as hard as he can to pull that little donkey towards him, but that thing ain't moving. And that is because they are stubborn, right? And I don't know about y'all, but some of y'all wives can contend that your husband is stubborn. Y'all wives say amen. Go ahead. Amen. All right. Mr. Risa said it. Sometimes you and I can be very stubborn. But the Bible says, though we can be that way, we need not be that way. Listen to what the Bible says in Psalm 32. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide thee with mine eye. So God is saying, I'm going to tell you where to go. I'm going to teach you where to go. I'm going to guide you in the way that you should go. But He has something for us. He says then, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So God is saying, I'm going to tell you the way to go. I'm going to show you the way to go, but there's one thing you need not do. Don't be like a mule. Because a mule will not go, a mule will not come, a mule will not follow unless you take it by the mouth and pull it where you want it to go. God says, that's the only thing I need you not to do, is don't be like that. When I say go, go. When I say follow, follow. And when I call, you just go at my call. But how often are you and I stubborn? And when God is telling us to do something, we're just like the mule, to where we hold back and we resist what God is wanting us to do. And this is the picture that I wanted to show you. Because that is exactly what is happening in Exodus chapter number 4. God is trying to get Moses into His plan. God is calling Moses. God is inviting Moses. God is saying, Moses, I have a plan and I want you to do this. But Moses is being just like that. He's being stubborn and he is resisting. He's pulling away. He's not wanting to go the direction in which God is pulling him. How often, just like I said, are you and I the exact same way? God is calling us. He's telling us. He's drawing us. And He's telling us that we need to go a certain direction in our lives. And instead of giving Him faith-filled obedience, we often give God stubborn disobedience. And that is exactly what Moses is doing here in our text. Listen, God is calling Moses to be a tool. To be the tool that God uses to set the people of Israel free from Egyptian bondage. And here's what's amazing. We didn't read it, but we're about to. If you'll go back to chapter 3 and look at beginning in verse number 16. Because this is what's amazing. God is going to tell Moses exactly, step by step, how everything is about to happen. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that'd be nice if God would do that with us sometimes, right? If God would just say, if you do this, I'll do this. If this happens, this happens. If this happens, wouldn't it be nice? This is exactly what God is about to do with Moses. I want you to look. He gives him 7 steps that this is going to happen. Verse 16. He looks at Moses and says, go and gather Israel together and say unto them, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared unto you, saying, I have surely visited you, and have seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites. So there's step number 1. Moses, go tell Israel that God has appeared to you, and this is what God is going to do. Step number 2, verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice. So there's step number 2. You're going to tell them, they're going to listen. Step 3. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now let us go, we beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. There's step 3. He said, Moses, go to Israel, they'll listen to you. Then go to Pharaoh, and tell Pharaoh, set my people free. Here's step 4, verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by mighty hand. So he says, Moses, you're going to come and say, let my people go, and he's not going to let you go. There's step 4. Step 5, verse 20. And I will then stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. So God says, after he says no, I'm going to start doing some miracles in Egypt. And then look what it says. And then after that, he will let you go. So God's saying, Moses, listen, it's not going to go good at first. He's not going to let you go. I'm going to do some miracles. And after that, he will let you go. And then verse 21 is the last step. And then I will give the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass, when you go, you shall not go empty. In other words, you're going to take some presents with you when you leave Egypt. Did you see what just happened? God just looked at Moses and said, this is exactly what's going to happen. He's going to say no. I'm going to do some miracles. I'm going to do some wonders. And after that, He will let you go. And when you leave, you're going to go with some gifts. I don't know about y'all, that'd be awesome sometimes in our lives if God could do that, right? If you're looking for a house, you're looking for a job, you're looking where you should move, you're looking what doctor to go to, you're looking at what doctor's report will come back, for God to just say, all right, you're going to go to this doctor's going to say this, they're going to give you some medicine, it's going to go like this, they're going to do surgery, you're going to turn out well. Wouldn't that be nice if God did that for us? Instead of just wondering. But the fact is, He does that to Moses, and Moses still did not believe. He still didn't believe what God was telling him. Moses still has his doubts. Moses still has his questions. And Moses still has his excuses as to why he will not do God's will. And that's what I want us to really see in our text this morning. The excuses that Moses gives to God as to why he is not following God. And the reason I want to preach this to you this morning is because there comes times in our life where God leads us to do certain things, where God guides us to make a certain decision, where God prompts us to do something in obedience to Him. He may be doing that now, but if He's not, He's going to do it later. He always does. And here's the thing we must know, that when God guides us to make a decision, when God guides us to go a certain direction in our life, there's one thing you can be assured of. Your flesh and my flesh will come up with every excuse imaginable as to why we can't obey God. That's what will happen. When God says do this, immediately our flesh will start saying, well, here's why, God, I can't do this. So what we're going to do this morning is expose some of those excuses that we might give so that when they do come up, you can say, you know what, that's just my flesh and I'm going to trust God. So what are some reasons why we do not do what God wants us to do? Number one. Excuse number one. Others. One of the reasons why we do not follow God's will is because others may not understand. Look at verse number 1, chapter 4. Moses answered and said, behold, they will not believe me. God says, Moses, this is all you need to do. And Moses comes back, but God, they won't believe me, nor hearken to my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto you. So there's Moses' first excuse. God, I know what you're telling me to do, but others won't get it. Others won't understand what I am doing. Moses is saying, all right, God, let's say I do what you tell me to do. I go and I tell them this is what you want to do. What if they don't believe me? They will not listen to me. Do you see that word? They is mentioned two times. They. And that's the exact same thing we do. They will say this. They will do this. They will come back with this. I'll never forget the night God laid it on my heart to be a preacher of the gospel. I'll never forget it. Because the exact thing that popped into my mind is, God, what will they think if I start preaching? What will these people think if I become a preacher? And that's the first thing usually what happens when we do. When God is leading us to do something, to go somewhere, to say something, we're going to start thinking, all right, well, what are others going to think? And that's exactly what's happening here. Listen, this is what Moses said. This is what I need you to know. Moses said, they will not listen to me. That was his excuse. Now here's the interesting part. Go back to chapter 3, verse 18. God is laying out the steps for Moses. Verse 18. And they shall hearken to thy voice. God already told Moses, if you will just go to them, they shall listen to your voice. You see that? God looked at Moses and said, they will listen. And the first thing Moses said back to God was, God, they will not listen. Isn't that interesting? Now, who does it sound like is the one not listening? Right? Moses. Moses is the one that's not listening because God already said they're going to listen. And now he's come back saying, but God, they're just not going to. Listen to what a man said. Chuck Swindoll is a preacher. And he said about this, he said, I can't help but wonder if somewhere inside of that burning bush, God was shaking his head saying, didn't a man just hear what I said? Right? You imagine that sometimes when we're kind of conversating with God, we're just going back and God's just like, are you kidding? Right? I've already told you exactly what to do. But Moses is here, and the main thing he's worried about is what others might think, what others might say. And here's the thing about this. Other people's thoughts and other people's words are holding Moses back from obeying God. It's holding him back from obeying God. Charles Stanley said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, there are three main reasons people don't obey God. Three top reasons. And here they are. Fear, family, and finances. Fear, family, and finances are three of the top reasons people don't obey God. And here, the top reason is really family to Moses because they are his family. And he's saying, God, they're not going to understand. They won't believe what you are telling me to do. But that is something we must never do. Is never. Here's a word that you need to write down if you're taking notes. Never let others' thoughts, feelings, or actions hold you back from obeying God. And that is a word you can take with you the rest of your life and it'll never let you down. Never let others' thoughts, feelings, or actions hold you back from obeying God. No matter if they're family, friends, or a complete stranger, we ought to obey God and please Him rather than wanting to please others. And that's exactly what Moses is doing here, though. He's worried about others. But here's the thing about this conversation between Moses and God. I want us to see, that was verse number one, I want you to see God's response to Moses. Moses comes back with God and basically is being stubborn like that mule and saying, no, God, I'm not going, I'm not going. You'd expect God to look at Moses and say, are you kidding me? Right? Will you just hurry up? Will you just come on and do what I'm telling you to do and see God get frustrated like we would do? But God was very patient with Moses. God was patient with Moses. And I don't know about y'all, but I am so glad God is patient with me. Are y'all glad God's patient with y'all? If He was not patient with me, I'd be gone a long time ago. God is so patient with you and me. And that gives me another principle that I'd like to add in. If God is patient with us, don't you think we should be patient with one another? And that's what the church is all about. It's about being patient with each other because, by the way, they ain't none of us perfect yet. So in order to be a church that comes together, we're going to have to be patient with one another. Go ahead and shake your head just like that. So I know you agree. God was patient with Moses. And what He wants to do now is He wants to give him some signs in order to assure him that this is what He wants him to do. Verse 2. The Lord said unto Moses, what is in your hand? And Moses said, well, there's a rod in my hand. I want you to know something about this rod. It was an ordinary. There was nothing special about the rod. It was a wooden shepherd's staff. Now, growing up, even now, when you picture Moses, you picture this old dude with a huge beard, long hair, and a huge stick. Am I right? That's because he was a shepherd. And shepherds carried around those staffs. And this is exactly what this is. There's nothing special about it. God looked at Moses and said, throw it on the ground. And when he threw the rod on the ground, the Bible says it became a snake. And Moses did a Justin. He took off running. And here's what got me. Here's where I'd have been like, you know what, God, this ain't worth it. The next verse says, God looked at Moses and said, all right, now take that snake by the tail. Now that's when disobedience for me is kind of like, you know what, that's fine. But Moses reaches out, and when, as soon as he grabs it, you know what happened? It turned right back into a rod. Now why did that happen? Verse 5 tells you. So that they may believe that the Lord has sent you. So this was a sign. He said, if they won't believe your voice, throw down your rod, it'll become a snake, turn it back into a rod again, and I promise you they'll believe you. So what God is trying to do is reassure Moses, this is going to work. But this is also an illustration. This is an illustration for me. Because this rod was nothing special. This rod was not extraordinary. This rod was very insignificant. But God did a miracle with it. And the illustration I think God is trying to tell Moses is, Moses, that's you. You're not special. To be honest, you're kind of insignificant in your own eyes. But I take things that aren't special, things that aren't big, things that aren't really anything to this world that are insignificant, and I work miracles through them. And that's what God is trying to tell Moses. Don't worry about how weak and how insignificant you are. I can work miracles through things that aren't anything. The next sign, he gives him another one. He says, all right, Moses, take your hand and put it into your stomach. Put it into your chest. And the moment he did that and pulled his hand back out, the Bible says it became leprous. He became literally a diseased leper in that very moment. Now, that would be kind of scary, to be honest with you. God says this, all right, put it back in your stomach, put it back in your chest and your bosom. When he put it back in and took it back out, it was normal all over again. And God says, just in case they don't believe the first thing about the serpent and the rod, show them this, and I promise you, they will believe you. So there's another sign, but it's also another illustration, to me at least. The same way God cleansed Moses' diseased hand just like that and made it clean. Moses is probably thinking, God, I can't do this. I'm a sinner. God, I can't do this. I'm a failure. God, I can't do this. I've tried before. I've messed up. I'm literally nothing. I'm a sinner. I'm unclean. And God is trying to tell Moses, the same way I took your dirty, diseased hand and cleansed it in 1 second is the same way the sins of your past, the moment you asked for forgiveness, I cleansed them in 1 second. And God is trying to tell Moses, don't worry about the sins of your past because I have cleansed them, and because you're a failure, I know that, I can still use you. So what God wants us to know this morning is no matter what you've done in your past, He can still use you for His glory. Because I don't know if y'all figured it out yet, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses every single sin known to man. The blood of Jesus Christ can take any of your past and cleanse it. And that's exactly what He's done for every child of God in here. So if the devil tries to tell you you can't work for God because of the things you've done in your past, tell the devil that's under the blood. Because it is. And that's exactly what God is trying to tell Moses in these situations. I know you're a failure. I know you failed. I know you've messed up. But I can still use you. Then He gives him a third sign. Verse 9. He says, it shall come to pass, if they won't believe the first two, neither hearken to your voice, then take the water of the river, pour it on dry land, and the water that you take out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Now, here's what I thought this morning. All these signs that God is saying, I don't believe they're for the people. I think they're for Moses. Because God had already told Moses, they're going to listen to you the first time. So what God is doing to Moses is He's trying to reassure him, this is what is going to happen. This is My will, and I am able to do it. God went to such great lengths to show Moses, this is My will. God didn't have to do that. God could have walked away the first time Moses said no. But God kept coming back and saying, Moses, this is going to work. This is My will. This is what I want you to do. And He does the same thing with us, I believe. He's so gracious. He's so patient. He's so loving that even when we reject Him, even when we say no, He just keeps on coming back like a loving father always does. And I'm so thankful He does that with us. But Moses, man, can you imagine seeing these three signs right in front of your face? All right, if that were to happen this morning, if I had a rod up here that got turned into a snake, I picked it up, it became a rod again. If I took my hand, it became leprous, took it back, and it was clean. And then I took some water out of this thing, poured it on here, and it became blood. What you would do when you walked out of those doors would call your friends, call your family, and say, you need to know what happened this morning in church. Am I right about that? You would imagine you would be pumped up. You would be excited. You would say, that was absolutely amazing to see the power of God like that. And you would expect that's the way Moses would be. You would expect he'd be like a football team just ready to charge out of the tunnel after seeing that. Say, let's go to Egypt. God, Your power is with me. Your power is behind me. Let's go do it. But Moses is still in mule form. God has showed him all that, and Moses is still just... still not moving. And he's about to make another excuse. But the main thing I want you to know this morning about excuse number one is when God tells us to go somewhere, to do something, to follow His will, do not let what others think, say, or do hold you back from doing what God is telling you to do. Number two. Moses now says, all right, God, well, now I can't do it. Look at verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since You've spoken unto me, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. There's excuse number two, God. I'm not able to speak before Pharaoh. I'm not able to do what You are telling me to do. And here's what he's really saying. God, I can't talk in front of people. God, I can't speak in front of people. And if I were to ask y'all to raise y'all's hand this morning, probably half of you would do that. You would say, I can't talk in front of people. If I were to ask some of you to get up here and preach this morning, you'd all walk out. Because people have a fear of talking in front of people. Brother Ronnie has that. Brother Ronnie can't stand talking in a big group. Now, he can talk to me for 2 hours. But in talking in front of a huge group, some people just have a fear of doing it. I had a friend in high school. You know, sometimes, I don't know if they did this when y'all were in school, but the teacher would have discussion with us, especially when you're reading a book. We would read a book, we read chapter 2, and she'd go around the room and say, all right, Justin, what'd you think about chapter 2? Landon, what'd you think about it? Stephen, what'd you think about it? And she'd go around. Well, I had a friend. Every time that happened, you could count on it. He'd raise his hand right before it and say, Miss So-and-so, I need to go to the bathroom. Because he was absolutely terrified that if she caught on him, he'd have to stand up and speak. I don't know if she ever caught on to it. Because every time that happened, he'd be gone for the next hour. Because he was terrified to speak in front of people. That's how scared he was. And here's Moses doing the exact same thing. Moses, God, I can't speak. God, there's no way I will have the words to say, especially in front of Pharaoh. And now, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be speaking. It can be going this direction, making this decision, leaving this place, going into this place, whatever it may be. Some people have an absolute fear of obeying God when you don't know how it's going to turn out. Most of us are like that to a certain extent. We are scared to do what God tells us to do because we do not know how it will turn out. And we just thank God, you know what, I'm just not able to do it. I don't have the ability to do it, and I don't think I can do it. But once again, in verse number 11, God does not come back and say, Moses, are you kidding me, dude? God doesn't come back to Moses and say, you know what, Moses, I'm done with you. This is it. I'm through with your excuses. Look at what he says. God is once again patient with Moses. Verse 11. The Lord said unto Moses, who hath made man's mouth? Who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? God's saying, Moses, I know you're saying you can't talk, but I want to ask you something. Who made your mouth? And the obvious question is, God, you did. You made everything about me. And God is telling Moses, if I had the ability to form your mouth, to make your mouth, don't you think I have the ability to give your mouth the words to speak? And God is saying that same thing, whatever He's calling you to do. You say, God, I don't have the ability to do it. God's saying, I know that, but I'll give you the ability to do it. In verse 12, He looks at Moses and says, all right, it's time to go. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach you what you need to say. Now notice this. God didn't look at Moses and say, Moses, I'm going to give you the most amazing speaking skills the earth has ever seen. God didn't look at Moses and say, one of the greatest speakers, at least in a lot of our times, was Ronald Reagan. He could give one of the greatest speeches the world has ever heard. He was a great orator. God didn't look at Moses and say, Moses, I'm going to give you the best speaking ability the world has ever seen. I'm going to give you this person's ability, this person's ability. He said, Moses, I'll be with you. And that's all you need. Can I tell you, there are some times, at least for me, let me be honest with you, that I don't think I can get up here and do what I can do because I'm not like Charles Stanley. I'm not like David Jeremiah. I'm not like Billy Graham. I can't do the way they do it. But you know what God is saying to me? You don't have to. There's only one of them, and there's only one of you. So just because you don't have the ability that that person has, doesn't mean you can't do it. Just because you don't have the ability that this person has, does not mean you can't do it. If God wants you to do it, He'll give you the ability to do it. And that's what you need to know this morning. And just like you should never let others hold you back from obeying God, do not ever let your own feelings of fear, doubt, and inadequacy hold you back from obeying God either. Charles Stanley said, if we submit ourselves to God and obey His Word, He will make us competent for whatever task He gives us. God is the one who gives us the ability to do whatever He tells us to do. But I hate to tell you this morning, this story doesn't get any better in the next verse. You'd expect Moses, after hearing all that, to be like, okay, I'm going to show some faith. God, let's do it. That's not what happens. Why? Moses is still in mule form. That's something you're going to remember when you walk out of this door, I hope. Don't be in mule form. He's still in it. And he's sitting there, and I think it's verse 13. He says, all right, Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand whom thou wilt send. What that really means is this. God, send anybody else but me. That's exactly what Moses just said to God. God, you know what? Never mind. Pick somebody else because I'm just not able to do this. Me and Monica have learned this. It's so easy to be patient with Levi. It's easy. But there are some days when he wakes up and his teeth are hurting and he's aching. And he's getting these teeth. And y'all know how it is with a baby when it's like that. From the time they wake up to the time they go to sleep, they just gonna whine. And although you love him, although you just want to hold him and care for him, there are some times, some days, when a mama and a daddy's patience runs out. Am I right? Some days it's just like, oh, I just can't take it anymore. And you just got to go to Chick-fil-A and get you a milkshake. It'll make everything better. But I say that to say this. Verse 14, that's exactly what happens to God. Did you know there's a time where God's patience runs out too? And that's exactly what happens. Verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. In other words, God, his patience was this much, and now it's just gone. Saying, Moses, I've told you everything you need to know, and you still ain't coming. And he said, is not Aaron your brother? I know that he can speak well. Also, behold, he comes to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And you will speak unto him, put the words in his mouth. I'll be with your mouth, and I'll be with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. God is saying, all right, Moses, I gave you the ability to do it, but since you don't want to do it, I'll spread the ability between two of you. I'll give Aaron the ability to, and y'all can do it together. And finally, Moses comes to the point where he says, that's what I needed. I just needed somebody to help me and maybe even speak for me. And in verse 18, Moses packs up his bags and he starts the journey to Egypt. But only after he was a stubborn mule for this whole chapter. And wouldn't it have been a whole lot easier if at the end of chapter 3, Moses would have looked at God and said, you know what, God, you've got it all figured out. I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. We could have skipped chapter 4. That shouldn't even have been there. If Moses would have just said, God, I trust you. Whatever you're telling me to do, I'll do it. You know what would have happened? We'd have never had chapter 4 in Exodus. And sometimes it gets me thinking about our own lives. There are some things that God may not want us to go through if we would have just obeyed Him the first time. I can look back at that on my life plenty of times. That if I had just done what He told me to do the first time, I'd have never went through that chapter. There's some chapters you've got to go through. There's some pain, there's some hurt you have to go through in this life. It's inevitable. But there's some we can skip out on if we just trust God the first time. And maybe that's what God wants us to do today. God just wants us to hear what He's telling us to do. Don't fight it. Don't resist it. Don't be stubborn. But realize one thing. If there is somebody in this world that we can trust, it is our Heavenly Father. And because He knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, every situation that could ever possibly happen, don't you think we can trust Him? Because He's never failed. And He will not fail you and I today. So the thing we need to know this morning, whatever God is telling us to do, whatever decision He's calling us to make, when God gives you peace, that it is the right decision. And that's what He'll do. If you don't have peace about it, it's probably not the right decision, at least yet. When God gives you peace, that this is the right decision that you're supposed to make, know this, your flesh will come up and say, well, what will others think? Your flesh will come up and say, God, well, I just don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know if I can do it. Here's what you need to know. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust Him. Don't trust yourself. Trust God. He'll always lead us to make the right decision. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for this Word. We thank You for Your patience towards us. And God, we thank You so much that though through our lives so many times, God, we're so stubborn. Oh, we don't listen the way we should. We don't follow the way we should. You're so patient with us. You're so long-suffering. And God, I just want to thank You for giving us second chances, third chances, fourth, fifth, giving us 100 chances that we don't even deserve. But God, You just continue to reach out, You continue to seek us, and You continue to lead us with Your eye upon us. So God, I just pray that in the decisions that we make in this life, we'd always acknowledge You, and we know that You will never, ever, ever lead us astray. So God, we thank You for that this morning. We thank You for this Word. I pray that You'd help us as we leave this place this morning. Keep us safe and bring us back together the next time. We love You so much and we thank You for Jesus. It's in His name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you.